All right. Let's fire this
Yale.
off. A96. Here we go. Give us a count around, Joel.
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Oh, no.
Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show. And that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLFGS.org. And IC channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, because the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 896 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Spring is coming.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joey.
I'm here.
And Fly Rich.
From the Hughes Compound Southern Commander, what is the spring thing you speak of?
Yeah, it's spring called... there all the fucking time.
I haven't been called Joey in like 25 years.
Sorry.
Joey.
Well, Joey, less than 25 years, it's good you're on, Rich, because I have an update of the XU4.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He
got a fix, right?
Well, it arrived on Thursday, and... Thursday night, so I didn't do anything with it. Friday, came down here, pop, you know, I pulled it out. Now it came in a, like, they couldn't have shipped this any cheaper, right? It came in a padded envelope.
No!
YoDroid box came in a padded envelope. I was like...
Who'd you order from? Oh, it was Amazon.
Yeah, and it was fine. I mean, it was fine. But I was just like, I expected it to be at least in a box or something, maybe like a box inside a smaller or bigger box.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I hear you.
So
a box in a box.
I shut everything down and I took the old one out and I put the EMMC on the new one. I put it in the case, plugged it all back in, fired it up. And I had it all hooked up, waiting to watch. And it came up, went down. And it came up, and it went down.
No!
And it came up, went down. And
you got a bad power supply.
And I'm like, what? I'm using my existing power supply, right?
Which is bad.
And so it's coming up, and it's coming down. And I'm like, well, what the hell? So I'm like, I thought at first it just wasn't booting off the MMC. Because I couldn't see it. It would start up, and then it would... shut down and start and was going so fast. And then I finally figured out it's not getting enough power. And so I'm like, all right. So I put the other one on and the other one was fine. And I put this one back on and this one wasn't having it. And then I was like, shit. And I looked and it requires 5 volts, 3.5 milliamps. And the power that I've been the power that it's been getting that the old one was using was 5 volt, 3.4 milliamps. And so just that little bit wasn't powering this thing. And I'm like, I don't know. I went to find the original power adapters I had and I went through all my stuff here. I could not find them. And I'm like, all right, oh. Do I wanna, like, it could be the power. I'm pretty sure it's the power. Or it could be that this thing's bad. It could be defective. I don't know. So I'm like, all right, I'll just take a gamble. I'll order the power supply that goes with this. It was only like $9. And I got that on Monday. It showed up. I came down here and I swapped it all again and it worked. It worked beautifully. It was up and running without a problem after that.
Thanks.
But I'm like, I got it all put together and I'm like, I've powered everything up. Everything was running. And I'm like, why isn't my NFS share mounting? And so I go, all right, I try to ping it, and I can't ping it. So I take the, you know, all the, I switch the HDMI around, put it back on there, the cable, so I can get to it, because I had it, I switched it to the other device, the other server, and I go in, and there's no ETH zero anymore. It's now ETH one. And that messed everything up because the version of Debian or Raspbian that I have on there is not doing predictive network naming.
Okay.
So I was like, why?
What OS are you running?
Raspbian.
Oh, Raspbian on a Raspberry Pi.
No, XU4.
Is it Raspbian? No, it's not Raspbian. Hold on a second.
You're running Diet Pi?
Raspberry Pi OS. Raspberry OS.
Hold on.
Raspbian.
See, I almost run Raspbian on nothing. Oh, it's Pi OS or what is it?
No, it's Raspberry OS or something like that.
Raspberry OS.
Armbian. I'm sorry, it's Armbian.
Okay.
Armbian, and it was so. I just switched the scripts around, and it was fine. Everything's working great. Although it kind of alarmed me because I'm like, why would all of a sudden the network be a different device? Like, why wouldn't it just be ETH zero? And I'm thinking because the network is on the USB bus.
I'm guessing there was a hardware change on that.
And that's possible. That's what I'm wondering. Like, if this is just slightly different, it's not as forgiving on the power, and it's...
How annoying is it, like, if it's like a tenth of an amp, it's like, really? That's going to kill it? You said 3.5 milliamps. I'm assuming you mean 3.5 amps.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 3.5 amps. But it was... Unless the what I have is not giving out 3.4,
right?
But the other
right.
one worked fine. The other one never had, didn't have that problem.
Which that's the other thing around here. I can't tell you how many times I have LED lighting in the house, you know, LED strips, and I can't tell you how many times the power supplies have gone bad. And I don't know if I'm just getting cheap crap, you know, from Amazon, or I don't know how many Vonage boxes I've gotten. I think there's some decent power supplies in there.
Yeah, so, I've
save
had
your
those
wallwarts.
I've had not the wallwart itself, but the box you plug those LED strip lights. I don't have them anymore. I got rid of the strip lights, but I've had those strip light. It's not the power supply itself, but the converter itself. You know, that that plugs into it, that I've had that fail, but I'm with you on that, you know.
Well, I got that. Home automation running, and I have a false, they call it a faux skylight, and there's fluorescent tubes up there, which are really bright. That's nice, but I have the LED strips up there also. And it just gets light throughout the entire house, and because we have like zero illumination anywhere.
Right.
So you need night lights in this house, so you don't, because there's no lights in the neighborhood.
That's I think in our home build they're putting probably can lights in almost every room, I think, which is going to be a first for me. When I was growing up, we had
lights did you say?
Can lights. You know, like the can, it's embedded in the ceiling, you know. It has light bulb in it. In the great room, there's going to be like four of those, and I think there's going to be some in our room as well, and some of the others. And then there's pendant lights over the kitchen island that we're going to have. We're getting at least one smart switch. An Eaton Z-Wave smart switch somewhere in the house. I'm not exactly sure where they're putting it. It doesn't really matter. But I'm looking at possibly swapping out some of what I have now. Of course, some of what I have now is going to be useless after August anyway, because Lightify is shutting down their servers.
Roll your own, buddy.
Yeah. But now I know the panel.
Why the frick would your light switch have to go off your network? You know, just somebody tell me.
Cloud services, you know, they're well, the big, a lot of them, including the Philips, would have a cloud service behind it. But some of the reasons that they have that behind it is so that they interact well with spy boxes, you know, the Google Home and the Alexa stuff, you know. So that's one reason. There's no reason that you couldn't build your own and have an interface with it from home. You could, but in any event, the house is also going to have a Kulosis panel. Basically, everything ties into this panel. So, like, from that panel, I can turn lights off, on and off in the house. That, I think it's going to be up by the front door. It also has the thermostat built into it, because the thermostat also is uses Z-Wave technology too, and gatekeeping, and it has the smart lock in the front, which, you know, I don't mind that so much, as long as I can disable the smart lock, or because it has it does have fencing. So, like, for example, you can have it so if you're within X distance of your house, it will automatically unlock that door. You know, geofencing, that's what I wanted to call it, geofencing. So, as long as I can turn it off, I don't care. And most of that stuff you can. So, I will use the combination it has on the front so that I don't always have to have my house key with me. But
yeah, so we're keyless here.
Right.
You know, so you go in through the garage door, and then there's a cipher pad going into the house.
Right.
And if there's no power on the house, there's a physical back door, because everything else is sliding glass on the back side of the house. And I have a cipher key on that. There's a front door, but I'm not putting a cipher key on that.
Right. The fact that the front door is where it's at. But yeah, I've got roof now. They've got both the sheeting and the shingles on the roof now.
And it's sheathing, not sheeting.
Sheathing, yes. But
it's a 3/4-inch CBX.
Yeah. But when I went down there, the only thing that looked like it wasn't done frame-wise was the stairs going up into my bonus room / office.
Pictures where it didn't happen.
It's all over the place, man.
Then comes the tornado. Bonus room.
Yeah, that's what builders call it. Yeah, it's just another a room over the garage, essentially. You know, it's got air conditioning and all that stuff up there too. It's just not, you know, a room. It, you know, it's got that fact. That room will be the only place in my whole house. Entire that room and the stairs are the only place in the entire house. They will actually have carpet. The rest of the house is going to be all flooring, and probably in a couple places I'll probably go buy some area rugs so that if they get ruined for some reason, just roll them up, toss them out, get a new one. You know, it's not like I have to replace the carpets.
Hey Dan, can we take a poll on when Joel will redo his kitchen for the first time? I'm thinking 2 years after he takes residence.
That might be a possibility, actually.
Yeah. But are the carpets going to match the drapes?
I don't know. I'm probably not going to have drapes. I'm probably just going to have blinds.
You didn't get that, did you? You didn't get
that. Yeah, I got it. I was ignoring you, but yeah. But I actually, this is the first time in the laundry room I actually have to get some blinds or something, because the laundry room actually has a window in it. But
so hey, I got an update on my problem. Mm-hmm. I did a little quick research, which I should have done before. It turns out the issue is with UDEV. On this system, it's UDEV persistent networking rules. So it captures your current setting and it writes in a configuration file under etsy udev
so you can restart your configuration faster
called 70. So what it does is it writes in there, it captures the net address of your Ethernet card's MAC address. That's right.
MAC address.
He captures the MAC address and assigns it
to ETH0. Oh, and your MAC address ETH0. Is different.
And then now this new device, it saw that it was MAC a different device. So it, then it assigned that ETH1. So long as I just keep this system like it is, it's always just going to be ETH1. But if I get a third device and then just swap the MMC, it's going to give it ETH2. Unless I fix this and set that MAC address to ETH0. Or delete this file and let it recreate itself. It's a little pain in the ass. I didn't realize that. But now I know.
So persistence. No one is persistence only happens because of the MAC address, which
is this systemd stuff.
It's UDEV, not systemd.
Yeah.
But systemd is on here, so it is what it is. Now I know, and I can fix that if I ever want to. I have another problem, which I don't know where the hell this is, but for some reason, every time I open a terminal, regardless if it's GNOME terminal or XFCE terminal, it always starts me in the root directory as opposed to my home directory.
Well, there's a way to set that.
And I have looked all over in my settings, and I can't find why it's doing that. I have even gotten rid of my .bash profile, my .bash RC, my .profile. I've had none of those things, and it still does it. I created a test account on this machine, and it doesn't do it in the test account. So it's something in my user account, and I can't find it.
I don't understand. Don't all Linux users log in as root and do everything as root?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that. But it's driving me nuts because I have no idea how it's doing this.
That's got to be a profile.
It's got to be something. The only thing I'm aware of is bash profile, bash RC, and dot pro. Is it dot profile one of them too? Yeah.
You're telling me you're using a GUI on Linux. Is that what you're saying? That's where you're going wrong.
Well, actually, that's a good question. Let me double check that because I wouldn't doubt. Now, when I SSH in, it takes me right to my home directory. I might drop a second. Hold on. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that now. I was going to double check whether if I log in via terminal.
I think if I log
into the console.
End the show now because we talked about two Linux things.
Yeah. But I'm having a dickens of a time trying to find where this is. And I'm hoping it's not some kind of like wacky gconf setting somewhere that some of these applications are picking up.
So, anybody want to hear a story on how I'm stealing data?
How are you stealing data?
Okay, which I'm probably going to put a video out on this. But I was in New York, and there was nobody around that I could mooch Wi-Fi from. I figured somebody had a Cablevision account and I'd be able to get the optimum Wi-Fi password from them, and there was nobody in range. So I was tethering from my phone, and I figured out normal operations, I use about a gig a day at work. Now, I just got to make sure I do meetings on my phone because the data is unlimited on your phone. Now, there's a way around that, but I didn't want to start mucking with it. Apparently, the way they determine whether it's an on-device thing, you know, an app on your phone using data, like let's just say YouTube, versus you tethering off like your Chromebook or your laptop, that kind of thing, is from the TTL. So
that method doesn't always work, mangling the TTL.
Yeah, okay. So, I didn't want to muck with anything. I got myself, you know, the Verizon Jetpack hotspot and just called it a day. You know, it's like, hey, not effing around with my job. You know, the other thing I could have done is just stay in a hotel room, you know, and have hotel Wi-Fi. Right. But I'm like, look, I want to stay at my house while, you know, work's getting done on it. So I picked up the Jetpack. The Jetpack, all said and done, I think it was $100 for the Jetpack. It's $40 for the activation, $20 for the monthly data. And you get, I forget if it's 15 or 20 gigs a month.
Right.
Anyhow, you know, that's realistically, if I stay between my phone that has like 15 gigs of tethering and a Jetpack, realistically, you know, there's 20 work days in a month. I'm covered. But a fellow YouTuber friend is having a similar issue, and I picked up a 4G modem or a 4G router. So this is it's a GLINET, but I don't know who comes up with the branding names. The model is the GL-X750, but the name is Spitz, S-P-I-T-Z. It says Spitz 4G LTE Smart Router. I think it was about $120. I'm probably going to be doing a video on my YouTube channel on this. So you get a... I got a SIM from Walmart with unlimited data, and then I activated on a phone. I spoofed the IMEI using AT commands on the 4G router, dropped it in there, and it appears that I'm getting unlimited data on this thing. I also had to do the TTL thing. So
I'm glad it worked for you. Because I tried it on some T-Mobile devices and couldn't get it to work properly.
Now, were you getting data, or you just weren't getting unlimited data?
Well, I get unlimited data. That's not the problem. The problem is that they highly restrict tethering speeds. And the way around that was supposed to be mangling the TTL so that they didn't know that you were using another device.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still getting the much slower tethering speeds.
Oh man, I had downloads. I had like download and upload speeds. I from my office it was a little slower, but probably like 1,000 yards from my house is a cell tower, and I just went outside and I was getting, I think, 39 up and down. So I was kind of shocked.
Wow,
that's still with 3 bars.
That's really good for tethering.
Now I can tell you, if you're thinking about HughesNet satellite, don't. It's hot garbage.
Do HughesNet satellite?
Yeah, the satellite-based internet, basically one side. I think one side is actually a dial-up still. Like I think maybe the up or I forget.
Yeah. So the down is from the satellite, and the up is with dial-up. And I think Tracy Holt had them.
Right. Because we had a client here. Everyone's working.
There's some startup company doing satellite internet data. I forget its name.
Elon.
Yes. Elon. Elon's thing, yes.
Speaking of Elon, did anybody watch his rocket fly today? That was pretty cool.
I didn't
watch that.
I didn't even know he had launched today.
I have been watching the impact that he had on the cryptocurrency market.
Yeah.
That's been interesting.
He is totally effing with people.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no,
so the Starship SN10 flew to 30,000 feet, hovered at 30,000 feet. Or wait, was it 30,000? Yeah, I think they expressed it in kilometers, but it was like 30,000 feet. I just did the translation.
Yep.
And did the belly flop and the stick the landing. I mean, it was crazy cool.
Right. So what ends up the problem I ran into that with a HughesNet, to go back to that, now that we had that sidebar, I had a client where basically we set up a SAML authentication for one of my applications. It worked fine for me. It worked fine for most of the people that were testing it. But I have one person, they couldn't get in. So we had her run speed tests. She has that HughesNet satellite. The download and the upload was actually fairly respectable. Down was like 30 meg and up was 3. The problem was the latency on the ping was 651 milliseconds, a half second latency.
Oh, no, wait. No, the latency on this modem is like in the 30 millisecond range, which I thought was kind of high. Yeah. But it's not awful. You know, if you're not gaming, it's not going to be a big deal.
Yep. Well, I think that's what I have here for AT&T on the DSL that I have here, which is the only thing I can get. But yeah, I can watch and do watch YouTube, Netflix, whatever, all day. You know, no problems. You know, even I think my wife even has it on while I'm working too. So it's, you know, it's not a problem. You know, but it's,
yeah, but realistically, unless you're doing video conferences on working, you're using not a whole lot of bandwidth. I was using a gig a day.
Yep. But I thought, good thing I pay for the unlimited AT&T, you know, because they kept trying to talk me out of the unlimited and adding things like phone and stuff. And I'm like, I don't need phone. I don't need TV and stuff. And he's like, but you're going to pay more. It's like, no, I actually pay less. All right. I pay more for
what
I want.
Who has a house phone anymore?
Thank you. You know, I say, I don't want to pay for the TV. I don't want to pay for the voice line. Okay. So your less was actually more if I do the bundle. It's like, no, I just want.
Well, usually the
internet.
Way they do that is the first year or two, they give you a break. Then the third year, they hit you hard. And actually, you know, I've been doing YouTube TV, which is now $70 a month, which I'm not happy about because I barely watch.
Right.
And my Comcast bill went up also. So I'm probably going to have to visit that and figure out what I'm going to do.
I need to look on YouTube TV and see what their lineup currently is, because I've run into a few problems with my son. You know, like, he likes to watch the PBA, all right? And I think most of their network their contract, I think, is mostly through Fox. And I don't mean Fox Sports Net. I mean Fox. Like, they'll show it on straight up Fox. Okay? So he goes and we use Fubo for our current TV provider. All right? So he goes there and says it's been regionally locked and they can't show that stream right now. So I dug my antenna out, hooked it up to the TV. And there you go. Because it was just straight up Fox. But I'm like, why are they blocking this, which is essentially a national event? It's not like I am in Columbus trying to watch Seattle NFL football or something like that. You know, I'm trying to watch a national event. And it's on open. And the only reason I can come up with is because our local affiliate was running it. That's the only reason I can come up with why that didn't work. Because sports is really the only thing I even care about live, real time. It's like I'm just as happy waiting a day, watching The Good Doctor on Hulu, than I am watching it when it's on now.
It's probably because it was broadcast locally.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can gather. Yeah, that's the only thing I can gather, which is just stupid now. I mean, and they wonder why they're failing. These companies are failing, cable companies and whatnot. So,
I can't. So, I don't know why. So, when you launch a satellite from someplace like, I don't know, Florida, the satellite, unless you burn a lot of extra fuel, is going to make regular passes over Florida. But
I was talking to a friend of mine. He's over in the Gainesville area, and we both got emails from Starlink saying, "Hey, we're in your area. Do you want to reserve? Blah blah blah. There's so many beta testers." I think I'm gonna follow up on that because they're taking like a $99 deposit, and I think So I think it's probably just one of these things where they've got to get FCC approval for the area to deliver the signal, because there's no reason. And again, not like I'm satellite watching or you know, monitoring the tracks, but the easiest way to launch something to cover the Florida area is launch it from Florida, which would be very logical to me.
Yep. Well, we're going to go back to Spectrum. We're going to pay the same amount that I pay for my AT&T broadband here, but I'm going to have a gig download versus 50 meg.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they did to my... I did the speed test on my cable today, and it was crazy fast, the download.
Yep. Because the one thing I always wanted ever since they announced it was I wanted Google Fiber. You know, but now they're done. They're not doing any more new deployments. It's where it's at, and that's it. They're not deploying any more fiber.
It's going to the Google graveyard?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it did. It really wouldn't.
I thought I took it. Yeah, okay. I was getting 187 down this afternoon.
That's respectable. That's fine.
That's nuts. In fact, it's so fast. I'm like, wait. But all right, guess what my up speed was?
Like 10 meg.
Yeah, 11.8. You're pretty damn close. So on the stupid 4G router, I'm getting, I think it was like 39 down and 39 up. Okay, hold on. I got the screenshot here. It was 34 down and 39.2 up.
Yep.
But the latency was 31 milliseconds versus like 9 milliseconds.
Interesting. See, Google Fiber is
Palm Beach to Florida.
Atlanta, Denver, Nashville, San Antonio, Seattle, Austin, Huntsville, Oakland, San Diego, the Triangle in North Carolina,
and other commie location.
Yeah, and Charlotte and Kansas City, Orange County, California, San Francisco, West Des Moines, Iowa. That's weird. Chicago, Illinois, Miami, Florida, Provo, Utah, and Salt Lake Valley, Utah. And that's it. That's pretty much, as far as I know, they're not doing any more new deployments.
Oh, well.
That's okay. I'll go to Spectrum. It makes me wonder what kind of hardware that, because I remember when Google Fiber was a bigger thing with a lot of people, they were shipping, like, the Nexus 7 was part of your equipment package. You got that, and it was kind of, I think that was actually what they used for the remote on the TV box.
Now most of your TVs come with that built in.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I was Roku at Walmart, and they had Google Home built into the TV. I'm like, oh, frick, I don't want my TV listening to me in my bedroom.
Well, see, they have, what is it, Google TV, which is essentially Android TV, built into some of them. They also have Roku. Some of the TVs have WebOS, which is the old OS that was on the Palm Pre. New versions of it, of course.
Yeah. And did they ever come out with the Commodore Amiga set-top boxes? I don't know if I missed that.
I don't think so.
I'm teasing.
I don't. No, actually, I bet you I know what they send with your Google Fiber. I bet you they send the Stadia controller with it. Which I do have one. I got that for free. And surprisingly, I won't say it works great on 50 meg down. It works. It's, for the most part, playable, but it'll be better when I have a gig. Because essentially it's streaming the game to your TV. But I don't watch much of that anymore. Now, I think tomorrow is the official launch of the Paramount Plus network, otherwise known as CBS Online All Access, where they're going to have all the Star Trek shows and all that.
Oh, cool.
So it makes me wonder if they're going to start pulling Star Trek off of Netflix, which I hope they don't do that, because I just started watching Deep Space Nine from in season one, too. I've been watching an episode or two a night.
Well, you have enough free time to sit around and do that stuff?
In the evening, I do, yeah. I live in an apartment. I don't have to do anything but, you know, make sure it's clean.
Well, anymore, I do it while I'm at work.
Or that, too, yeah. I've done that if I wasn't on the freaking Zoom calls all day. Like, that was my
they can't see what's behind the camera.
Truth.
They can't hear what's on your headphones.
But yeah, but I have to have headphones on for the call, too.
You also run Linux, so you get to decide how your audio works.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Have you played with that Pine 64 phone yet?
Oh, shoot. You know, it's funny. That's why I was going to use the SIM in, but I didn't.
Okay.
But you did.
That's what I was going to do with this SIM.
But you did get the phone?
Yeah, so Door-to-Door Geek sent me the Pine 64 phone. Yeah, I guess I'll have to pick up a SIM for that.
Yep. I know our friend Claudio has one, too, I think.
How is Claudio? It's funny. I've been in Florida 6 years. We've never hooked up.
Go on the Fediverse. You'll find out. That's the only place he's at. I think he uses the... I don't know if he uses the same Fediverse server I use for Mastodon. I used the Tusky client. He's Claudio M at mastodon.sdf.org. That's what his address is on the Fediverse. And you should go see the man. He's a good guy.
Yeah, I was in Miami a couple years back. Well, I said 6 years. I'm 6 years in this house in Florida. I'm like 10 years in Florida. Yeah, I was down in Miami for a tech meetup. And I'm like, hey, buddy, what's going on, man? And he's like, you know, he had stuff going on. Like, oh,
yeah,
maybe next time.
Well, his kids are getting to be the age ours were 2 or 3 years ago. So, I mean, going to have to be busy, man. I should email him and talk to him, too, to see how he's doing.
Yeah, we did an episode on Hacker Public Radio about Linux audio stuff.
Yep. But I've been doing, I haven't done much more with my Docker stuff. Got it running here on my laptop. And I also got it running on my Pi. That's actually what runs MB for me. It basically installed the MB Docker container, and it's been pretty flawless for me.
Sync, or BT Sync, has been dropping in and out for me. Sometimes it just refuses to move anything over, so I might have to start looking at a Nextcloud setup. And I'm thinking about using Docker for it.
Okay. Yeah, I've been thinking about, like, one of the things I've been thinking about doing is when I move, instead of running my Docker containers on my laptop, which I can run them on the Pi, but the problem is the containers aren't all, you know, the containers that are available not all of them are available on the Pi unless I build roll my own container, which I haven't learned how to do that yet. But, you know, I'll get there. But most of the stuff I want to run, though, does run an XE6. So I've been thinking about picking up, like, a home server of sorts. Like something with a bit more horsepower. So I've been seeing this one pop up in Amazon every once in a while. I have to see if it's in my list here. The HP ProLiant home server. Can't remember which one it was, but it was like $800. It's like, yeah, it's not too bad. And it's going to have a little bit more horsepower than my Pi or probably my old laptop too.
Well, I ordered a new tablet. Haven't gotten
it
yet.
What'd you get?
The Dell Latitude 5285. i5 7100U, 8 GB of RAM. Twice the processing power of the Dell Venue 11 Pro that I have, so we'll see how well it runs Linux.
Cool. Yeah, HPE ProLiant server. Trying to find, see if I can find that one. It's like, the only thing that it was is I think the listing I saw on Amazon had that shipping without storage, so I'd have to buy hard drives too. There it is. The Hewlett-Packard ProLiant Microserver Gen 10 Plus. And actually, I just searched for it, and I can get it cheaper than $800. It was $598. Again, though, I'd probably have to buy storage, which I'm all right with that. It'll hold up to 4 drives. I'm trying to see what I think this one has 16 gigs of RAM, which I would probably upgrade that to 32. Oh, there it is. There's the spec. Intel Xeon E2224 processor, one of those. And it has one HPE Smart Array storage controller and a gig network controller. So for not too bad for $500 and some change. And then, of course, you have to buy, like I said, you have to buy storage. Yeah, hard drive not included. So maybe the one I initially looked at actually came with storage. I'll have to look and see. That might be a possibility as well. But just something, it's a little bit more server-ish than my laptop, obviously. So I don't know.
Just about anything can be a server if you want it bad enough.
True enough. Amazon is looking for a regional IT manager in Etna, Ohio. No, thank you.
That's at least closer to Rich's plane.
My plane's in Minnesota.
Yeah.
What is it, like a couple of cardboard boxes in the corner of the hangar?
Well, the fuselage is fully assembled, so, and the wings are there. You know, it's the airframe.
That's funny.
It'll probably be fixed 6 months after, you know, Joel's house is ready.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet.
Well, it'll be ready. It'll be ready in their same May now. I expect windows and garage doors, windows and doors, you know, at least temporary doors. I don't know if they'll have the permanent door for the front door right away, but those in this May, in 2 months. But 5 years. No. No, if it ain't ready then or relatively soon after, you know, we're going to have to start looking for something else because this place is just... It's funny, like, you know, because we're nearing the end of things. You know, they're sending us email. Reasons we want you to stay in number one and number 10 are the same reason. They're just so desperate. It's like... And I know it's just a mail serve. It's not, you know, they're not... You know, they don't put any of your wishes into that, because if they did, they wouldn't send it to you. Excuse me. So I'd put the link in the Mumble chat of the new pocket knife I picked up. In a not bad for a $15 knife. I just bought it.
Your knife didn't cost $1,000. It's not any good.
Yeah. Well, it's like the everyday blade, or everyday carry, I think, knife oriented group. You know, there's several like gatekeepers, and they're like, you know, I basically said in there, I'd never spend more than $100 on $100 or maybe $200 on a knife. They're like, and one guy comes back, oh, I spent $2,000 on this knife. And I'm like, yeah, you're stupid.
That's a pretty nice computer that you leave sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Right?
Did you ask him if it'll give you a return?
I know, right? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do want to get like a higher end knife, but it ain't going to be that higher end. No way. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. Yeah, and a lot of people don't really think about.
So I have a subscription from Amazon. I get a knife every month. It's a $30 Kershaw, and when it gets dull, I just throw it out because next month I'm getting a new one.
I've got a $30 Kershaw that I've had six years, okay. And it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, my dad has I think he has an old buck pocket knife. You know, like he has had that. The one I've seen him use, he's probably had that for 30 years. And yeah, it's worn and stuff, but it still cuts things, you know, because he sharpens it, you know. I half think that some of these guys just want to have something pretty sitting in a case on a shelf. And I'm like,
it's a new form of elitism. Who can spend the most money on a knife that they don't use?
And it can get somewhat that way with survival gear and even guns to a point.
It could be anything. Guns, guitars, same shit. Do you want something you're going to fucking use and actually, you know, enjoy? Or something you're going to just, you know, put in a case and look at it?
Watch. Yep. The first time he uses that $2,000 knife for anything, it snaps.
Well, see, and that's the thing, you know, is it's like, I'm like, well, what do you need that hard of steel for? I mean, what are you using? Are you using the tip as a screwdriver or something? You know, you're not supposed to do that, right?
He's obviously attacking people in plate armor.
Yeah, you know.
Obviously. Come on.
Or the ones that'll, you know, there's some ridiculous looking knives out there. Like there's some that look like literally like a raptor claw from Jurassic Park. And I'm like, what the hell are you going to use that for? Personal defense is the only thing
you can get a bot for a whole lot less than $2,000.
Oh yeah.
And at least that is, you know, a showpiece and actually cool. Yes. Looking.
I think so too, but you know, but or a what's the knife that they had, the Doctong, I think, the one with the outriggers. I don't remember, but still, it's like, you know, I'm like, whatever floats your boat, man. And they're talking about things like washers or bearings. You know, bearings have fast track. I want to unlock my knife and have it drop back into the case. I'm like, you know how kind of fucking unsafe that is. It's like, what happens if your lock comes back and it falls back on your hand?
One less idiot with a knife?
Right. Cut their fingers off. or like the one guy, he posts a picture of his new knife, and he says he already broke in because he just opened it up and he had fumbled it and dropped it and it hit him in his leg. It had stitched like a butterfly bandages holding the part of his leg together where he sliced his leg. I'm like, what are you freaking idiot? You know, I don't know. That's like this new knife. That one I pasted there, it's not the fat. I can't flick it open. Like my I have two knives that I can flick open. One of them is the one I've carried the longest, my Schrade. And I forget which model number, but it's a drop point with a frame lock. You know, not frame lock. Lighter lock. All right, it works great and it's sharp. And this one doesn't. You kind of can flick it, but since it's kind of new and stiff, I could probably make it.
If I want to open quick, honestly, I'm just going to buy a spring assisted.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, yeah, that it, which actually I wouldn't mind having one of those, but
like $8 on Amazon.
Yeah,
seriously.
No, I know. So it's like, you know, in the way I'm, and I'm like, and some of the knife guys like on YouTube will say, well, there are certain people that need that, and I will acknowledge that. There might be some that need a knife that costs that much. But
people that work in search and rescue, maybe?
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. You know, that's like one of my favorite fixed blades I have. It is a $20 Schrade that I have. And I
could
love
see
that
if you're
knife.
A diver spending extra right. money on a knife. You know, because right. then you have to have stainless steel. And it's got to be stainless steel everywhere. And it's
okay.
got to have a special grip right. so it's not slipping out of your hand.
Can I tell you the problems with stainless steel diving knives?
They still
the problem is, all right. So if you want to have a good stainless steel diving knife, it will rust. Because the stainless steel that doesn't rust won't hold an edge.
Right. Either won't hold an edge or will hold an edge, and it'll hold an edge for a long time, but then when you lose it, you're spending an hour to 2 hours to put a freaking edge back on it.
No, you don't understand metallurgy.
Probably it's... true. But...
That's why I'm not arguing with you.
I'm just exaggerating. I'm talking about the ones like the insist no, on the, having M390.
A good stainless dive knife will rust because that's right. the only kind of stainless that will hold an edge. Because stainless that does not rust will not hold an edge; it's too malleable.
Right. Yep. And actually, you know, it's like I read up on like one of the big super steels in the knife world, especially in folders, is M390. And from what I read, it's really nice steel, but it's like it's not much better than other steels. It really isn't, you know. But it's just like, you know, I don't need one that in it, you know. The cheap Chinesium that my Strades are made out of works just fine. Yeah. You know,
right, 10 million country boys can't be wrong about a $20 buck knife.
Now, I will say this, if one of these I do want to get an American made knife, because I do like to buy stuff that's made in America when I can, but it's not something I'm going to pay through the nose for either. You know, that's like the next backpack I buy when I buy one, which I haven't bought it yet, is going to be from Tom Binn. Who is based in Seattle, Washington, and the bags are made here in the United States. They're not made in China. So, and it's a $200 bag. And it's the one $200 bag I'm willing to spend $200 on, because I have some of their other bags that I'd gotten back when I was doing a lot more reviewing on Gear Diary. They sent me their Western Flyer, their Tri-Flyer, and then Judy sent me the Arrow, I forget the bigger one that I have, but she sent me one of the ones that she had reviewed because she didn't use it anymore. She just sent it to me, asked me if I wanted it, and I'm like, yeah, sure. And I have taken that one on camping trips when Luke was in school. when they do their yearly camping trip, it would go with me. I'd take it in tents and camped with it. I've dragged it across the ground inadvertently, of course. The thing looks almost as good as it did the day I unboxed it from when I got it in the mail from Judy. So it's like those bags are worth every penny, and I highly recommend them.
Well, I seriously doubt they're $2,000 bags, though.
They're not $2,000. No, it's not $2,000 bag, though. it's not made out of leather. It's made out of nice, thick Cordura. It's very durable. You can't go wrong. Plus, I also like the fact that every bag they sell, the zippers are waterproof. So I've been in, when I was working at the college, I'd take those with me as my bag to hold my laptop and stuff in. I'd pull them out. Never had a problem with the rain killing my laptop, you know. I highly recommend them. And I love everything that I've ever gotten from them. I've gotten two travel bags, two backpacks, and then the larger one. I can't remember. It's Aero something. I can't remember. But the larger one, and all of them still look great to this day. So, I mean, it's just – I can't recommend them enough. And they're made here in the United States, which is a rarity for pretty much everything. So, you know, but a knife, $20 Chinese knife, $500 US made knife, I'm going to buy the $20 Chinese knife. It's going to do the same job.
Yep.
And if I break it, 20 bucks.
Buy another one.
Buy another one. Fact, my favorite tray that I carried the longest, I actually have another one of them that's brand new, never been used.
I need to replace my tray.
Yep.
I don't know where it went.
Now, the worst part, my fixed blade that I really, really like, that I use like when I go camping and stuff, they don't make it no more. It's like, darn, if I want to buy another one, I can't. So... it has a nice TPE grip on it. And it feels really nice in your hand, and it's very well balanced. My favorite YouTuber with survival stuff, Survival on Purpose, his name's Brian, and Shrade used to send him everything, right? Because he'd review it on YouTube. He'd send it to him, so. He sent him that one, and I didn't buy this my fixed blade I have because of that. I did put it on my Amazon wish list, and I got it as a gift 1 year for Christmas. So it's like, you know, win-win on that one. But it's a $20 knife, and I love it. It's like really good, you know. And you know, that's the other thing too. It's like, like, if you think that you need to have that $500 knife because it'll last longer than the $20 knife, then you're abusing your knives and you're not using them properly. You're using them to do things like pry open paint cans and cut through things you shouldn't be cutting through. You know, right tool for the right job is what I always say, you know. And not everything's a hammer, and that comes with everything. So, but yeah, I am on the lookout for some new kitchen knives, because the main knife set I have in my kitchen is as old as my marriage. We got it as a wedding gift. And I don't have all the knives that came with it either. Some of them have just been lost or broken or whatever. I do have a few Cutco knives, because when my brother-in-law, right after we moved into our old house, he was just had a baby with his ex at the time, and so he was doing anything he could to raise money to help take care of the kid, and he started selling Cutco knives, so I bought a couple knives. And I can highly recommend them. And I looked into buying a set of them, but a complete kitchen set from Cutco costs $1,300.
No, I'm good.
That's what I said. I'm going to start looking at, see if I can find some Henkels or something like that. Something that doesn't have the Farberware ones that we got for a wedding gift, they have wooden handles, so they're just starting to go to shit, you know, because they're 20 years old.
Yeah, that'll happen. But, you know, there are consignment shops.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm one of those fools that actually sharpens their kitchen knives, because a sharp knife is a better tool than a dull knife. And a safer tool.
3D print handles for those knives.
Don't get me started. I bet you could.
I bet you could. You have to bulk them up a little bit to make them sturdy.
Right, and well, I'd have to pretty much 100% probably want to do PTG.
Yeah, PETG.
Because I kind of like to stick them in the dishwasher. And if I do PLA, they're going to melt.
Yep.
But
if it's just dishwasher, then maybe ABS, but that's a little bit brittle.
Right. So, yeah. No, I'm not going to do that.
You can start printing carbon fiber.
Yeah. So I'm looking for, like, knives I'm looking for are going to have, like, a plastic handle of some sort.
I'm not saying you shouldn't buy more knives.
Oh,
to replace the ones that are breaking. I'm saying that when you do, you should 3D print yourself some handles on the old ones.
Now, that actually, you know what? That's an interesting thought, because I could use those for just screw around.
Right? You need to chop something up out in the garage. Guess what? I got this knife with this shit-ass handle on it.
I don't know how safe that would be either. So.
It's going to break eventually, but who cares? Print another one.
See, the one thing I'm not sure of is that on that alt set is if they're full tang. I think they are full tang, but now that actually had me thinking. I have been thinking about trying to make my own knives and work on. Wouldn't necessarily have, you know, as long as I had a blank with an edge on it, even a starting edge, you know, I can finish it. But and then.
Well, you could probably make your own handle out of wood, too, just like the old ones.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
some wood glue and some pop rivets. And...
Or, now here's the thought. I can make the model out of resin, of PLA, and then make a mold and make it out of resin.
Hmm.
That'll work.
I don't know how strong resin is.
Yep. Now, speaking of resin, too, my dad, for some reason, shared with me a link or story on Facebook about an Elegoo resin printer. And apparently he has a friend down there that takes his Elegoo resin printer and makes parts for models, you know, like for building models and stuff, which I could do that and actually have done that on my FDM printer. But it would look so much nicer on those. But that apparently was interested enough, and he actually looked it up on Amazon. He says, you know, that Elegoo is only $219. I'm like, I wasn't aware that was that much that cheaper. I thought I knew it was in the 200s, but I didn't think that they dropped the price again. But apparently they have.
I'm still not going to buy one.
Well, I'm not buying one until I get moved. I gotta start buying things like blinds and stuff for my house. I think wherever I have the double windows, I'm probably gonna buy vertical blinds versus
I might get the Ender 3 V2, but I don't know.
Yeah, I saw somebody was selling parts to like extend the bed on the Ender printers to enlarge your bed. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most modified printers there is, and
oh,
because of the price.
Yep. Oh, you in your garage again?
Yeah, Smith & White's.
Nice.
I'm 3D printing some adapters for like the standard weights, and I'm trying them out.
Nice. Yeah, I actually have something I'm going to probably 3D print over, maybe over the weekend. I might do it, or I might do it later tonight. I designed a kind of little holder for storing my pocket knives. So that way they can be somewhat organized. Until I can get, eventually I want to get like a either a Pelican or like a steel case or something to put them in to for safekeeping, just so that they're all in one place, you know, instead of just sitting on my desk. But how's that new sous vide working for you, Dan?
It's working fine.
Yeah.
It works pretty good. It, what did,
you said that was $70?
Did I say that?
I thought you thought, that's what I thought you said it was. Maybe it was more. I don't know.
Let me double check.
That might be another thing I do when I move, because right now I don't even have anything I could put a sear on the steak with. If I did it in the sous vide, I couldn't even put a sear on it because I don't have a grill. unless I went and bought a cast iron one.
Yeah, it was $79, and
okay,
it works great. It's a little different than I was used to. My old one just had like it had two buttons on it and a wheel, and the button was like on all like. Would start or stop, and then the other button would change.
So that puts the you would, put the meat
change what you're
in a bag with that, right?
Temperature. Yeah.
Okay.
I just stick it in a water bath, like a pot or a tub that I have, and then I do the vacuum immersion.
Okay.
Gravity immersion vacuum where you just put in like a zip. I got some. I also picked up some. Silicone bags, which are reusable. The only problem is the silicone bags are a bit smaller than these gallon Ziploc bags.
Anti-static bags?
No. They're made out of
silicone rubber. So yeah, you can get like pot holders and stuff made out of.
Okay. So you can they're food grade and safe and everything, so you can reuse it. Like with the Ziploc bag, once you use it.
It's done.
You essentially got to throw it out because they're not durable enough to keep. Like, you could wash them, but.
Yeah, makes me wonder. People who sous vide all the time bought those vacuum sealers.
I had a vacuum sealer. You have to get a good one because mine sealed properly. And it was such a pain. Go ahead.
The washing of the Ziploc bags, before we get away from that topic, I do that.
You can do
but
it.
Then I don't use it for food again after that. Afterwards, I'll use it usually for like super glue or those binary compound glues.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
How do you just wash it by hand?
Yeah.
See, because if I use a Ziploc bag for vegetables, I'll wash it out and reuse it until it gets holes in it or gets really bad. But when I use it in a sous vide, it gets all oily and greasy, and it's really hard to properly clean. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm trying these. I want to try the silicone because I don't want to go through all that waste. Same thing with the vacuum sealer. It would just be throwing out. You can't really reuse that. So they're a lot smaller. And I got a bunch of pigs here, so when I make stuff, you know, it's like I could probably fit like a chicken thigh, like a chicken leg quarter in these, if it seems like, maybe a little more. But usually it's like I'll get four chicken thighs, and then in another bag I'll get like four or five legs. And it doesn't seem like I can fit that much in the silicone bag. Although I haven't tried them yet. I've only done two things. And one was scallops, which they already had. They were already in a Ziploc bag.
Right.
Then I froze them. And the other one was thawing something out. So I haven't used it too much. But it's got a it has a web app or a phone app that you can link up with it, and that
for the sous vide.
Oh. Yeah, it does. I mean, I could have bought, I could have done that with my first one, but I'm like, I'm just setting time and temperature, and this one's a little more complicated to set the time and temperature stuff on, because I keep like pressing the buttons and then I end up resetting it back to the default, and then I got to go through again.
Right.
But if I just open up the phone app, I just tell it, you know, this time at this temperature and click the button and it goes. And then it has a bunch of presets. Like you can look something up in the application and say, hey, you know, I want to do pork chops. And then they're like, well, how, you know, how do you want them done? And then it just automatically sets that for you.
Right.
So that's kind of nice.
Right.
But fish and chips today in the air fryer, and that was delicious.
I did
buy a knife, Joel.
Did you?
Talking about knives. I bought one today because I've been watching Kenji Alt Lopez, and then this new guy I was watching on YouTube today. I want to get his name right because he was really good. I really enjoyed his stuff. A cooking show on YouTube. I just subscribed to it yesterday. Holy crap! Why?
Now I do want to actually eventually pick up another food saver, but I'm not going to pick up like the cheap one. I'm going to pick up the higher end one, like the V4840, which is the $200 one. You know. And I do have the, at least with, if you stick with Food Saver, my feeling is when it comes time to, you know, buy a new roll of bags, I can generally do that. I think both Sam's Club and my local Meijer both carry that. But the other thing I want to make sure of whenever I buy it is that it has some of the things like the canisters and stuff. Like I would do things like take some of the coffee beans I have that I use on occasion and vacuum seal them suckers, you know, in one of those reusable canisters. So things like that, you know, and but things I've done when I've had one is when what I like to do is like if I buy some steak or something, I'm gonna plan on, you know, maybe I want to do those on the grill. But I always like to, you know, marinate my steaks or something. So I'll just pour the marinade right into the bag and vacuum seal that all together and then stick that in the freezer. So when I pull it out of the freezer, all I got to do is thaw it out and it's ready to go on the grill. It's already marinated. And not that you actually have to even wait, you know, basically store it for a long time to wait for it to marinate. You know, the minute you vacuum seal anything, it's marinated, so you can just use that just to marinate it. You know, like if you don't want to freeze it, you can just marinate it like in a actually you can probably use the canister to do that, I would think, probably. But I do want to get one of those eventually. I don't have the space in this kitchen. The apartment kitchen's teeny tiny compared to what our kitchen will be in the house.
So the YouTube channel is it's Ethan Chlebowski, Chlebowski. He's got some really good, like,
I'll have to look it up,
videos on cooking. And so both of them have been using a cleaver, and I've been watching like other shows cleaver. I've been like, I really want to get my hands on a decent
chef knife.
No, cleaver.
Okay.
So yeah. It's like they're like, it's just like a Chinese cleaver. And so the one that Kenji O. Lopez recommended was a Dalvua leaf spring small cleaver, and it's been really, you know, highly rated by him and other things. Is if you can't go down and find a cheap one at a Asian market, which I haven't been to the Asian market in a while. I figured I'd just pick this one up and try it out. You said I got it off of chefknivestogo.com. It was $69.95, so $70. We're going to see how that is. It should be here in a couple of days.
Right. Yeah, that's actually one knife I don't have. I have of my really good knives, the ones that aren't the ones I got from my wedding, are the really good ones. I have a Cutco. I'm not sure if it's the petite or the regular size French chef knife. I love that knife. It works so well. And I have with that, about that same time period, I also bought the bread slicing knife, which also is really good. I've never sharpened that one, but then it's got a serrated edge. And I think I'd have to probably buy a different kind of sharpening equipment in order to sharpen that, because I don't have anything that I don't think anything I have I can sharpen that. But technically, though, because that one also came from Cutco, I can actually, if I can find one of the local guys that actually sell them locally, I can take them there and they'll sharpen them for you. All their salespeople, they give the sharpening equipment they need to sharpen their knives. So they have them and they can sharpen the knives for you. I prefer to do it myself because I know how to sharpen a knife. I do, and if you've never sharpened your kitchen knives, do it if you know how, because it'll help.
Or learn
tremendously.
How.
Yeah, learn how. I mean, it's not hard to do it. You know, it's just
that's what YouTube is for.
Thank you. And I actually recommend what I use. It's in storage now, but I have a Lansky recommended to me by our good friend Tracy Holtz set of stones. It's basically five different grits of stone, and each one has a rod. And then that kind of goes into a slot.
Here we go, Joel. Here we go.
There you go.
All right, now tell me, okay?
Yes, sir.
I have the same thing. And
oh, the Lansky, yeah.
Yeah, I have the same thing. And my question for you is...
Yeah?
How do you do it? Because I've watched a bunch of different videos.
Without tearing your knives all to crap.
Yeah. I've watched a bunch of different videos, and one person's like, you slide it along... You go with the length of the blade. Another person's like, yeah, you push it up. You know, you just like short strokes.
First, with the Lansky, I recommend, it doesn't come with it, buy the clamp that goes onto the edge of your counter. It basically, it's like a C clamp, but on one end of it, it's got this little thingy that you just screw in. And that basically has the... a hole or a peg on the end of that, and that's what you stick that little frame on, okay? So you do that, and then you don't have to hold that in your hand, in one of your hands while you try and run the stone against the knife, okay? So and then you clamp the knife in that holder, all right? Select the angle, and you basically, whichever angle you want to put on your knife, you know, it should be the same angle that's already on it, all right? Although you can pick a different angle. It's just going to take you longer because you have to grind more metal away. But then you just put a drop or two of oil on those stones, and you just, you know, slowly, you know, I'll go over the entire blade. I don't know, three or four times per side, you know? So and I don't know, I've seen people take that, and I've done it kind of both ways. I've basically gone back and forth, and I've also gone just one direction, you know, the whole way down
well,
the blade.
Well, hold on, my question is, because I only go one direction, because I know
right.
I'm back, and so...
That's the best way, yeah.
The question I'm asking, do you start at the tip of the stone... and run it up the blade in one direction until you get to the bottom of the stone, and hopefully that covers almost the entire blade? Or do you do it in strokes going up the blade and multiple strokes as you go up the blade? Or do you do it all in one single, try and get it all in one single?
Yeah. Stroke? I kind of go like in. I take it a section.
You
at
gotta
a time.
Alternate with your stroking,
right?
You gotta keep it interesting.
Yeah.
No, I kind of do it a section at a time. For pocket knives, that's not a huge deal because you can pretty much do that pretty easily. Because you're talking a blade that's only 3 or 4 inches. But my chef's knife is a little bit, a little longer.
It's hard to get that whole thing in one stroke.
Yeah, you can't. So basically, I will do it like.
I don't see how you can work with something that small, really.
Right.
3 or 4 inches? Come on, man.
There you go. But I just kind of do it a section at a time. So I'll go 1, 2, 3, move it. 1, 2, 3, move it. And I do that, the whole way down the blade. And then I might do that whole pattern again, And then, I did one more time. And then I'll flip the blade over and do it on the other side. It does a pretty good job. Now, I will say I probably should get, I had to double check with Tracy. He had like a one that was more or less a wheel, so basically you can sharpen it a lot quicker,
Or damage it faster. You don't know what you're doing.
That's true too. But yeah,
I've been thinking about getting some whetstones and doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get the good. I got to be careful about getting the angle.
Getting that right. Yeah, the bad thing, the way I always did, my dad had a whetstone that was fairly large and long when he would do like our pocket knives when we were in scouts. And he basically would kind of start where the end of the knife that kind of connects right before where your hand is, He would kind of start there, and as he ran it down the stone, he would gradually pull it to the right, so it would go all the way the whole length of the blade,
Mm-hmm.
And basically kind of made like a cutting motion into the stone, because that's kind of what you got to do. All right. So he would do that, and he can in one stroke. By the time he got to the end of it of the stone, he was at on the tip. So he would do that. I don't know how long he would do that. It didn't take him long to put a good edge on the blade, And that's how he uses that. He's been using that same stone for 30 years. So, but there are other systems out there, and I might look at especially for my bigger knives, because my chef's knife sharpening it with the Lansky is a pain in the ass, because the edge is so long. You're talking about the blade itself on my chef's knife is probably, 8 inches is probably the edge, I would think. 8 or 9? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never measured it. But, my pocket knives, the Lansky, works a treat. I mean, it's pretty easy to do the pocket knives. They work well. Now, granted, I haven't sharpened them in a year. I'll probably need to after we get moved. Now, granted, it's not like I use them the same one all the time now, because I got more than one pocket knife. So the ones I have now are sharp. So one pocket knife recommendation I can make if you want to start carrying a pocket knife, look for Opinel number. The number 8 is the one I have, and that thing is razor sharp from the factory.
Find yourself an old, the clips from Schrade.
Clips.
That thing is awesome.
Clips. Yeah. I kind of wanted now. The one Link sent me one as a gift not too long ago, last year I think it was, and I love it. And it's a Oella. And it's got a Tanto blade, which is a little bit different. My normal preferred pocket knife blade has a drop point on it. And either a hollow grind or a Scandi would work fine. But the Opinel is really great. And it's just, the blade itself is a good carbon steel, good stuff. And it's $20. It's $20, and it can cut pretty. I've cut cheese with it. I've cut wood with it. You know, I've cut pretty much anything. The most common thing I cut with any of my pocket knives is what? Amazon boxes, right?
Oh, we got to start wrapping this up. But
yes,
you know what? I think I figured out the problem I'm having with my home directory.
What'd you do?
I think it's SE Linux.
Oh!
So I think
don't just disable it.
I think something's messed up in there because this used to be an Ubuntu system, and all I did was just I have a separate partition for my home directory, and I just installed Fedora but left my home directory, and I think it's something in that it didn't get reset or whatever. That's the only thing that I could figure is the problem here, and I don't know how to fix it. I'm not exact because I've tried a bunch of different things and it hasn't fixed that problem. Maybe those things require a reboot after it's done. I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of disturbing. I'm pretty sure it's SE Linux. And I can see in my audit logs, there's a denied when I log in on dev SDA 5, which is where my home directory partition is. And I think that's all related. So I got to dig further into that. What pain in the ass, Joe. SE Linux coming to get me again.
Yep.
Woo! All right. Oh, you know what I did have to buy? I didn't have to. I wanted to.
Hmm.
For a bit now, I've been getting some Achilles tendonitis, and I need to fix that shit before it gets chronic, so I have to take... Yeah,
sometimes you really can't fix tendonitis. It just lingers.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
Chronic tendonitis.
But I have to lay off the running for a bit. And
take a crap ton of ibuprofen. Or naproxen.
Well, I've been icing it, and it feels better now. It's starting to get better, and in about another week or so, I'm gonna try the recommended stretching exercises. So I'm not gonna be able to run for a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. I want to do bike riding instead. So I got a bike, because the bike I have is not. The bike I bought like 5 or 6 years ago, yeah, it might even be longer than that, wasn't right sized. I picked it up for $50. I just wanted to get into it again. And then I started using my daughter's bike, which was the right size, and then she took it off to college. And now I don't have a bike unless I want to wreck my knees on the other one.
Well, yeah, I got a bike. Just keep looking at Facebook Marketplace. I bought mine for $25.
Oh. Well, I bought a new one.
Oh, no. Buy a used one, because you'll be surprised the people that spend $200-$400 on a bike and then leave it sitting in a corner in their garage for the next decade and then turn around and sell it for $25-$50.
Heck, you might even be able to get one for free.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Really? And then you gotta replace some inner tubes and maybe a chain, and definitely have to lube the chain.
You see... Mm-hmm. My thing is, I don't want to go fucking anywhere or near mm-hmm. anybody in this pandemic. That's what prevents me from buying.
That's why I go biking at like 9-10 o'clock at night when it's pitch black.
I don't mean biking. I mean just having to deal with going to get a used bike from somebody is just. I'm like,
hey, no, you make sure you set it out beforehand, okay? I really think we should social distance, and I'll have the money there, and we'll barely interact with them at all.
And Joe, you live in a Texas that's opening completely back up, too.
Yeah, that's true. People are stupid here. What do you want me to say?
Get your vaccine.
Well, I would
if I go out in public, I'm going to be wearing a mask.
I don't want to say ye, you know, just because the law, the guidelines that the governor gives you says you don't have to wear a mask doesn't mean you can't. Well,
the whole thing, I agree with you completely. I'm a big fan of that whole less government thing, believe it or not. And him saying, okay, it's no longer a mandate is perfectly fine if I thought people were actually going to be smart and not use it as an excuse to act like an idiot.
A person is smart. People are dumb, stupid animals, and you know it.
Well, okay, Men in Black. Yes, I got right. that. But no, the whole thing is yeah, it should be up to businesses to say, okay, you can't come in where if you're not wearing a mask.
Yep.
And you know, then people can say, oh, we're gonna boycott them. But you know what? I'm gonna go there. So.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I get it. You know, I get why some people are upset about it, but for me, I'm like, you know, like,
and I've heard concerns from some people yep. that still believe in the masks, where they're saying that they're expecting the stuff to come back that happened right when this all kicked off, where people were being accosted in stores because they were wearing masks,
right?
And I know I'm not going to have a problem with it.
Yeah, people are assholes no matter what. You know, that's the biggest problem, you know.
Well, I don't know what it is about this part of Texas. If I was still in El Paso, people would be looking at me every day like they wanted to fight me for some reason. But I walk into a store here and people look at me like I'm going to plow through them with my truck or something, despite the fact that I don't have a truck.
Gee. Well, it's just like even in different parts of town where I'm at, they're 10 times more concerned with it. I've seen people in this area of the Columbus area specifically go out and yell and scream at somebody because they're not wearing a fucking mask. And I'm like, I know how you feel. I know how the screaming person feels, but it doesn't give them a right to be an asshole.
Here, get yelled at for wearing a mask as opposed to not wearing a mask.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, even when things were at the height, I know I came on and talked about it. I went to some neighborhoods, apartment complexes, to get things from Facebook Marketplace, and nobody in the... I was the only person in that area wearing a mask. Hundreds of people wandering around,
yeah.
I'm the only one wearing a mask.
That's my nightmares, man. That's what I dream about. I'm like, whoa, get me out of here.
No, oh, dude, I was... Yep.
What?
Yeah, dick nosing.
They can't figure
yeah.
out that dick nosing isn't helping you. It's not protecting right. you.
Right. Well, and I could see doing that. Like, for example, if the store itself's not that busy and you're not around anybody,
if there's nobody around you and there's a reason to take off your mask or whatever, then take off your mask. It's like, when I go bike riding, you know, I'm out in public, but there's nobody around. You know what I'm not wearing?
Mm-hmm.
My mask. It's in my pocket.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, it's completely stupid for, I see some governors saying that you should be wearing your mask when you're outside, and not, even if you're not around anybody, and it's like, no, but... Yeah, anyway, yeah, the way I'm like, you know, wear your mask, don't wear your mask, do what you want to do, just don't be an asshole.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, but I now know two people that were in the hospital that have had it. One we know, Rich.
Well, my wife says she knows like 18 people that have ended up with coronavirus.
Right.
Died.
Yeah.
Died.
I didn't know about it. I don't know. No one I knew died, but I've known several that have had spent some time in the hospital. I had one. My old pastor, his brother runs a church. It's actually not all that far from where I'm at now, but he runs a church. It's closer to Ohio State campus, and he got it. His wife got it. She ended up in the hospital for about a week. Her daughter got it. Her granddaughter got it. Her granddaughter's pregnant. And he got it. So basically his whole family, everyone that lives in their house got it. So, in their case, they do a lot of, work in like, they have two houses for, one is specifically for women, one for men, for homeless and recovering addicts. And they so that's probably where what ended up happening there is one of the addicts had it and they probably got it that way, but you know, but they're committed to their job and they did their job and unfortunately they got it, you know.
Well, my in-laws all refuse to get the vaccine, and, yep. and they don't like wearing masks,
yeah,
and they all live together, you know, the mother-in-law, father-in-law, and brother-in-law, and they live together, and Jake is a nurse.
Oh boy.
Physical therapist.
Right.
And I don't see how they can not want to get the vaccine.
Right.
Especially since
Yep.
Two of them are 65,
right
around. Oh, older.
Well, I'm happy to report my dad got his first dose. He works at Sam's Club, so he was able. I think he was able to get on the list. Besides the fact he's in his 70s, so he's able to get his at least one dose. I have to ask him if he's got a second one yet. But now in Ohio, happens to be the first state that has the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is one shot and you're done.
Right, but only has the 64% to 67% efficacy.
But it,
so I'm not far, sure it's been 100, that one, no.
almost 100% of preventing death. Since
that's true.
Going
that's
to
true.
Well, and that's good enough for me, baby.
Yeah, I don't want if the Johnson & Johnson is what's available, then that's what I'll end up taking when it comes around.
Right.
But I'm just saying the other ones have that higher efficacy.
Oh, efficacy yeah. Range. I would rather have, if right. I had a choice, I would take one of the right. other ones. But
you'll take whichever one you can get, right, Dan?
I know damn, I would. Yeah. Hey, well, we got to wrap this up, man.
I haven't even started looking for it, but you know, if you can get it, get it. You know, that's my thing. You know.
Right now, with at least hold on a second, guys. Hold on.
Sure.
Right now, Texas only has about 6% of the population inoculated right now with at least one dose.
All right.
Most teachers are still not considered essential employees, but CVS is allowing them to sign up on the list.
Interesting.
Well, that's at least that's good on CVS.
Right. Yeah, I have certain family members and friends that I know that just will never, like my brother, he said he'll never get it. And I'm like, whatever, dude. You know, he's nuts on that. But
are they the same people that say that they're never getting the flu shot because they feel like crap afterwards?
Hey, I'll say I've never had the flu shot. I've never gotten it. Now, I've not
you've never gotten
that
the flu.
Actually, never gotten the flu. No, but at least not in recent years. But you see, there's one important difference, Joe. I don't work in an office anymore. I haven't in 6 years.
True.
So.
If you're not around people, then yeah. And yeah, you know, I they've had the lowest instance of the flu in years because nobody was interacting with anybody.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, there's that, and I understand people get it. I've been thinking about starting to get it, you know. I'm not gonna, you know, I won't, you know, I'm not anti-vax. I am for people being informed about it and learning what they can learn about it, you know. And if you come up with your own stupid opinion that they don't work, then that's fine. You know, I don't care. You can die.
Darwin you know. Award.
Look, right. We got to wrap this up. I got to get going.
Yes, we do.
So thanks a lot. I'm going to play out some promos. We'll see you here
stay
in a week.
Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, stay safe. Stay safe, Joe.
Yep.
Stay warm.
You too. Oh, yeah, it's nice and warm now.
Good. Here are your promos. And thanks, everybody.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yummy, yummy.
What are you eating?
Nothing.
No. Ooh, what's this?
This what?
Okay, I don't remember doing that, but okay. I got a letter, an email that says, you've made the following changes to your U.S. Federal Aviation Administration subscriptions. You unsubscribed, oh, I must have unsubscribed from an email topic, UAS part 107. That's the drone licensing. Ah.
Stop. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel.
Guitar amplification kit, and it's a lot of soldering involved.
Yeah, I got one of those a while back. I think I even talked about it on the show. One of those DIY.
KLD?
No, the DIY desk amp kit.
Who sells that one?
Some Chinese company. I don't remember. I still use it. It works fairly decent for. You know, just getting all the parts in the mail and soldering it together. It comes with a acrylic case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one I'm is KLD. KLD.
Now, what I'm kind of wanting, thinking about doing is I've watched 3D printing nerd, Joel Telling, and he 3D printed speaker enclosures. Granted, I couldn't do anything as grandiose as he did because I don't have a big enough printer.
You should check out DIY Perks. The guy doesn't put out a lot of videos, but he made some Bluetooth speakers out of like a cement mold that he made himself.
Nice. Yeah, so I don't know if he has the plans for him anywhere, but he built the crossover and had everything basically all wired together, including buying drivers and whatnot, you know.
Yeah, the guy who I watch on YouTube is right up my wheelhouse. Is guitars and guns, and the guy builds guns and guitars, and he does fucking phenomenal work on both, especially the guitars. He does some really
nice
stuff.
Pizza.
Uh-huh. That's like Link and I have been jumping into the kind of a little bit into the knife world a little bit more, joining a couple Facebook groups. One of them is pretty fucking elitist. I'm like, you know, they're like, oh, I spent $1,000 on this really nice knife, and I'm like, I spent $20 on this knife and does all the same things your knife does. The only thing it doesn't do is hold the edges long, and I don't really care.
I would definitely point at that person and laugh. You spent $1,000 on a knife?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, I mean, granted, I'm 200 or 300, I could see. You know, it just depends, you know. Not everyone, I'm going to say probably the 80%, which is kind of right where Link and I live, knife-wise, is where we're at, me and Link, I should say, you know. So, like, I buy, like, I just bought a GVDV branded knife, which I don't know if it's an actual, it's probably a Chinese brand is my guess, but I got it for $15, and it kind of looks like a Damascus, but it's not. It's a, like, a laser cut, like, pattern, or applied pattern of some sort. Looks like Damascus steel, but it's not. But it looks beautiful, and it feels beautiful, and
it's
it feels
tough. It's got a
plastic
handle, it's aluminum, no. It's hollow. No.
Hey, the nicest thing it's about a $15 knife is if you break it, you can go buy another one.
Buy another one, right? You know, I mean, that's exactly it, you know. You know, because, like, there's like, well, this knife's made out of M390 steel. I'm like, okay, yeah. how long does it take you to sharpen that fucker? The harder steel takes longer to sharpen. And you have to have ceramic stones and you know, you can't just use any old sharpening stone to sharpen a damn knife. Because it's so hard. So, you know, I'll stick with my Strades and my, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of want a Benchmade. I wouldn't mind a CVV knife either, but those aren't necessarily $500 or $1,000 knives, or talking maybe $200 or $300 at most. And are they high quality?
Trade,
they're good. Yeah.
You can get a decent trade for like $20-$30, probably less.
Oh yeah.
Yo.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, I loved my Strade when I was overseas. So
speaking of cheap knives.
Uh-oh.
Oh no! You only got that half right. Just get cheap.
Cheap.
Did you get new? kitchen knives? Actually, I'm kind of looking for some new kitchen knives.
Well, it's interesting that you asked, but I wasn't talking about that, because I thought I just saw Rich.
Yeah, he jumped into audio test.
He did.
No, I did get it. Well, we should start the show.
We should.
This is prime content. All this freaking content that Pat is delivering is
geeky
getting
stuff.
Lost.
Yeah.
I want to hear about the Pine 64 phone that Rich got.
Oh, did he
Rich
actually
ever gets back in here? Hopefully.
I know. I've been on what you call it on the Fediverse. I've been seeing Claudio Miranda, our good old friend Claudio.
Yeah, he's going too.
Yes, and he's got like Ardor running on his phone.
You got it, man. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, this is episode 896. Holy crap!
Yeah, I'm trying to see what Claudio. Other than that, what Claudio was running on is.
Okie doke. Now I hear things. How's it going, guys?
There you are.
Yeah, you're working.
Hey. Are you saying I'm a slacker? I don't get that.
No, you're not a slacker. You work hard just like everybody else.
Joel says you're working it down at Pound Town.
In human
live
land.
At the Hughes Compound Southern Command.
And the Northern Command is gone.
Is it gone?
No, it's not gone yet.
But it's with a realtor?
Yeah, almost. Let's see,
are you
69
done?
Degrees out.
Are you finished with it?
I'm pretty much. Look, if I'm walking away, I don't want to talk numbers here, but if I'm going to walk away clean with the number in my mind, I am good with it.
No, but I mean,
you're probably
you,
gonna
you don't
make
have
a profit.
To go up anymore, do you?
How long
have
you
owned the house? Probably going to go up one more time or so.
How long have
you're
you owned the house?
You're probably going to make a profit,
too. Probably, let's see, almost 30 years. But
yeah,
my great-grandfather built it 120 years ago.
You're going to make plenty of money out of it.
Yes, you are.
Well, I still owe $150 on it, but apparently the price tag it's going to go for is pretty decent. So
$155. I'm going to make more.
I'm not sure if I'd be a complete dick if I buy an Audi R8 V10 Plus.
There you go.
Wait. Do you already have an
Tesla
offer?
No.
We should take bets. Like, what's going to happen first? Rich sells his house, or Joel gets his house?
Well,
Rich sells his house.
Actually, Rich will sell his house. Yeah,
No, his house definitely is ready to go.
Mine's not. Mine's got a roof now, finally.
Wait.
Yay.
I should say, Rich closes the house or Joel gets his house.
Right. See, well, same difference. Right. I'd be closing too, so.
Well, okay.
Yeah. You know. No, his house, his sale will close before mine. That's a guarantee. Because housing market, like if you're thinking about selling, do it now.
Dude, I gotta say, I've had all sorts. I never figured I'd ever move out of that house. I figured, you know, my kids would grow up in that house, and you know, because my great grandfather built it 120 years ago. The whole when I heard the number I'm gonna get for, I'm like, yeah, my sentiment's done.
yeah. Heck, you could take some of that, roll it into your Florida home, and get it paid down some.
Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of debt outstanding still, and I want to retire that.
There you go.
I don't know how much I'm going to pay towards the house in Florida, but I'd love to keep, you know, just some money handy and available. And I was thinking about fixing the airplane.
Really? You're going to get back up in the air?
I didn't think you had the airplane still.
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually. It's been in a hangar for forever.
Yeah, it's in a heated hangar in Minnesota. So, you know, the next dynamic might be if I sell the house, I may go to Minnesota, work remote from Minnesota, and just finish the airplane.
There you go.
You going to start flying again?
Let's go, Dan.
I will let Rich answer that question.
I didn't hear the last question. It was kind of stepped on.
He asked if you're going to fly again.
Well, yeah, that's the plan. I did fly when I was up on Long Island. I don't know if. Maybe a little over 30 minutes worth of flying time, but...
Well, let me ask you another question then. Do you make money flying?
No.
No, it's fun. That's
why he spends money flying.
But I can do one of those YouTube flying channels that everybody loves to watch.
Put Air Force Proud 95 to shame, right?
Just, you know, start making runs to Mexico. You'll make money in no time.
No,
Cuba.
No.
You're close to Cuba.
Honduras.
No, I don't want to have anything to do with that crap. Although planes like mine, they do that kind of stuff with them.
Well, if you make enough money, you can just sell Cuban cigars.
The Cuban cigar.
Yeah, I just... Dude, my life is okay now. I don't want to mess things up.
It's just a small fine.
And that's good.